Everybody's attention, please. If everybody would please rise. First of all, my name is Rick Meistrom. I'm president of Anchorage East Rotary for this year. And Anchorage East is where we do good, have fun, and make friends. And to lead us in the pledge will be Charlotte Tharp. Charlotte?
Please join me in saying the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
And John Slezada will give the inspiration.
Okay, an anonymous one today. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny.
Whoa, that's really good.
Yeah, thanks, John.
John,
hey, President Rick, what's your destiny?
I don't know, but I'm going to watch my thoughts from now on. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't see those thoughts.
Hey, John, would you get that? Would you get that to Matt Duncan so we can put that in the East Wind? That's very good. I like that a lot. Okay. You know, I measure the inspiration by the applause, but everybody was thinking about that so much they didn't applaud. But that was very good, and I appreciate that. Okay, let's say thanks if I can to our team captains Charlotte Tharp and Kerry Treadway Reese. So, yay, way to go! Thank you, Charlotte. And to our greeters, Rita Salazar, Kat Jones, as opposed to Kat Stevens, and Rosalie Ledoux, who got here a little bit late, but was still a wonderful greeter. Thanks to our greeters. And now to introduce visiting Rotarians, if we have any, is Victor Kester. Victor?
Good afternoon, fellow Rotarians. President Rick, Sergeant-at-Arms. I'd like to announce our visiting Rotarian today, Mr. Brian Lawrence from Seattle Skyline Rotary. His classification is nonprofit. Welcome to Anchorage East Rotary. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Victor. Good job.
Okay, let me just show you something. I'd like to introduce the head table, and as everybody here knows, there is a question to be asked so we can learn a little bit about our head table folks. And the question of the day is, what's your hometown? What brought you to Alaska? And when did you come here? So, the first one is Lynn Lloyd on your far left. And Lynn, and these are pretty interesting reasons for coming here. Lynn's home is Portola Valley, California. That's her hometown near Palo Alto. And she's been here for 1.5 years. And the reason she came to Alaska was for love. Isn't that neat? Very good. Okay, that's Peggy Spittler. And number two, secondly, is to her left, is Shirley Nelson. And Shirley was born in New Sweden, Maine. New Sweden. It's actually a small town next to the big town of Caribou, Maine. Caribou was a bigger town. And Shirley came in 1977, and she came to teach. And I think, are you still teaching?
Yeah, privately.
She's still teaching privately, okay. And to her left, to Lynn's left, is Shirley's left is Peggy Spittler, and Peggy was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, and she came here in 1975, and she came here for love too. I mean, that's love brings people to Alaska, isn't that nice? And then on my far left, on your right, is Major William Anderson. Now, Major Anderson just got here in 2008, and he may have come here for love too, but it was the love of the military that brought Major Anderson here. So Major Anderson's here, and the military brought him here. To his right and to my left is Sharon Anderson, a wonderful long-term, middle-term member of Anchorage East Rotary, and still an honorary member of our club, and we hope that she'll be back in full active status soon. Sharon's hometown is Seattle. She came to Alaska in 1977, and she kind of came for love, too, but she ended up loving Alaska more, so she stayed. So Sharon came because of a love of Alaska. That's our head table. Please welcome our head table. Okay, if you'd consider making a small contribution to the Yellow Cups, and the Yellow Cups help our exchange students. I don't know if Susanna's here, a wonderful exchange. Is Susanna here today? I don't think she is, but we have just another great exchange student, and we've had a number of really great students. So, yeah.
What about you?
Oh, me. That's right. I forgot about that. Okay. I came here in 1972. My hometown was St. Paul, Minnesota. So we share a hometown. St. Paul, Minnesota, born in St. Paul, came in 1972. Combination I had been here before on a temporary job, and I got tired of Los Angeles where we were living. So we came up in 1972 and came up with $250 in our pocket. And now we've done a little bit better than that. I've got more than $250. So anyway, that's what I came up from. Yellow Cup, happy dollars. Oh, let's turn it over to Dave for Dave Young for happy dollars and fines and proud dollars. David Young.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. We'll just start it right over here. Is there any proud happy dollar? Can't beat this.
Two things, President Rick, fellow Rotarians. My name is Rick Goodfellow. First, please say hello to my guest, Kathy Lee, who is the director of the Anchorage Senior Center. And I have a proud and happy $20 bill because I've just learned that a past president of our club and still one of the most favorite people who comes back to our club and makes up, Matthew Nicolai, tomorrow night is very deservedly going to be inducted into the Alaska Business Hall of Fame. And I'm going to be there at the banquet. It's in the Denina Center. And if any of you would like to join me, please let me know, and we'll make a little party of it. It's tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night. Okay.
Yeah, he certainly deserves it. Thanks, Rick.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, my name is Paul McGuire. On your table, maybe there's a little information that you might follow along, but the behalf of the past presidents, we're proud to present on February 17th, Deal or No Deal. Or at least one of us is proud to present. So it's basically going to be a cheesy copy of the original game show. with all the proceeds going to the Rotary Foundation. If you want to play or have an opportunity to play, it costs you $100. From all the people that we gather that $100 from, we will select one participant to play Deal or No Deal, and it will go just like the regular game show. If they win it all that money goes to their account in the name of the Rotary Foundation. If they choose at some time to take the deal and quit before, then there will be a balance left over, and we'll draw one other name, and that person will receive the balance. Sean Bradley tells me this will be a lot of fun. On a much more serious note, a big thanks to a lot of people, specifically Rochelle Edelin and the Hotel Captain Cook, for loaning us Chef Tim, who helped out with Susanna's dinner in the home. A big thanks to Jim and Bobby Olson for hosting it. To all those that attended, Susanna was able to raise over $1,000 to help fund her West Coast trip. They did a wonderful job. And Chef Tim, I think, has some pictures of them in little chef and chefette's outfits down there at the Cook making all these dishes. So when those surface, you might be able to see them. But thanks again to everybody for participating. And, of course, always, if you'd like to donate to a West Coast trip, you can simply do that. Thank you.
Thank you all. That's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, Michelle Drew on behalf of the Youth Exchange Committee, and I have a couple of just quick announcements in regards to Susanna, our inbound student. As President Rick indicated, please remember the yellow cups, and we very much, certainly Susanna, very much appreciates your financial support of her time in our state. But I would also want to encourage you to contribute with your time. If you have anything going on with your family at home, planning a trip, a day out, to sports event, a hockey game, whatever, Susanna is available and eager to get out and do things and have different experiences while she's here. So we very much appreciate your financial support, but would also encourage you, if you do have anything planned that you could include her, pick up the phone, give her a call. I'm sure she would appreciate that. In addition to that, we are going to try to put together a list of names of people perhaps that live in the south side of town who might be willing to provide transportation for Susanna on a limited basis. As you know, our youth exchange students are not allowed to drive, and as it is right now, our host family has to provide a significant amount of support, particularly in the area of transportation to and from school. So if you live in the south side of town and or might be willing and able to be available to drive her occasionally, please come and see me or shoot me an email or something and let me know. And we'll try to put together a list of people that she could call if she needs to get somewhere when the family's not available. So thank you very much.
Hey, thanks a lot, Michelle. You do a fantastic job on this, by the way.
Thank you, Dave. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, a proud dollar. Michelle stepped up to plate to be our YEO, replacing R.C. Woodson, as you heard through the news. And I just want to say I'm very proud of what she's done already, going to the winter orientation last week and the tremendous article she has in today's news, East Wind. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Woody, for pointing that out. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Mr. Kevin.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians and guests, top of the day to you. My name is Kevin Curtis, and I do have $10. The first five are somewhat mixed, as at 2 a.m. this morning, I just returned from a two-week vacation to Maine to visit my wife. The second $5 are actually proud dollars for my daughter, Sarah, who just this morning had her first presentation and oral arguments before the state Supreme Court, and she did an outstanding job. Thank you. Have a great day, folks.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, it was against the state of Alaska, too, right, Kevin?
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my name is Pamela Finnessan, and I have both happy and sad dollars. My happy dollars are that I'm over 10 years in Rotary, but my sad dollars are that I'm going to transfer to the Hillside Club and do morning meetings instead, but I will come back and visit for makeups.
Well, Pam, we're going to miss you. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, and we're going to miss you, and good luck at the morning at the Hillside Club. So, Pam. Thank you.
Thank you. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my name is Barbara Swenson, and I want to pay a $20 fine for just a quick announcement. Our hotels are having a big shindig tomorrow night to celebrate our rebranding of all three hotels. So I'd like to invite all of you from 5:30 to 7:30 to the Clarion Suites downtown, which is formerly the Hawthorne Suites behind Benihana. We're going to have a big celebration, a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and lots of free food and drink. So please come join us. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
And we're raffling off two round-trip airline tickets to Hawaii. So if you need a little more sunlight, stop on by and throw your business card in. Thank you.
Let me just ask while you're right there, Dave, and Rick Goodfell. Rick, what time does Matthew's event start tomorrow night?
Cocktails at 6, dinner at 7, so you could do both.
Okay, so we could do both. We could go to Hawthorne Suites at 6 o'clock or 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then we could, if we check in with Rick, we could go to the Business Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Business Hall of Fame for Matthew. Okay, thanks.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, top of the morning to you. At 2 a.m. this morning, I was happy to be sound asleep.
Oh.
I'm the person designated to organize the book club, and we had 23 members sign up, and I would like people who signed up that have not gotten back to me about their choice of time and their books they'd like to read to do so by Friday so we can make some decisions. Thank you.
Oh. Thanks, Diana. Sandra.
Good afternoon, fellow members. And I think President Rick's going to make more a comment about pillars, but I just want you to know I'm here selling tickets for the two pillars luncheon lectures where we bring in the high school students for inspirational lectures. We like to have lots of Rotarians there. And the first one is next Tuesday, which is before our next meeting. So if you especially want to get a ticket for that one, you should get that today. And Janine is running credit cards and giving you cash to give to me for the ticket. So if you don't have the cash for it, why, you can see her about that. Did you want to make more comment about that?
I just sort of wanted to repeat a little bit. It's 2 weeks from today, and we are not going to have our meeting here. So 2 weeks from today, our meeting will be at the Egan Center for Pillars of America. So we will not be having a meeting today. It will be at the Egan Center. And you don't have to have tickets, but you can actually just walk in to the Egan Center and get in. They would like to have tickets sold ahead of time so they have a count for food. But it doesn't have to be. If you can commit or get the tickets today, that would be great. How much are they?
$30. Unfortunately, the Egan Center management has raised the price. They used to be $25.
Okay, so $30, it's $9 more than here. But it's usually a very, very good program. And in the East Wind, it does say Dena'ina Center. And the reason it says that is because that's what I told Matt Duncan. But I was wrong. So it is an Egan Center.
Yeah, definitely the Egan Center. And it really does help us if we can get the count ahead of time. So if you can swing it to get your tickets ahead of time, that helps us. But there is the walk-in possibility. Can I just say a little bit about the guy who's speaking next Tuesday? This is the young African-American aviator who is the first African-American to fly around the world solo. He did it when he was about 23, and then he started an aviation education program in Miami, had inner school, high school students build an airplane that he then flew as a demonstration to show them that, yes, they could really accomplish something. So I think he'll be a very inspirational speaker.
Okay, just to clarify now, there's two events. One is next Tuesday. The second one is Wednesday, February 10th. And Wednesday, February 10th is when we're canceling our meeting, but we'd love to have you go to the Tuesday one next Tuesday as well as 2 weeks from today on Wednesday. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, Rochelle. Nice to have you back.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Rick, fellow Rotarians. I'm Rochelle Edlin, your social chair. So, first thing I want to tell you is I just returned from Fat Camp, and that's what we named it. I know you're all looking at me like, not possible, Rochelle, you haven't lost any weight. But for 7 days, I ate at seven fabulous restaurants in L.A., and also drank. My whole entire itinerary, which was awful, was going to these restaurants, starting about 7 o'clock at night, eating and drinking until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and all the chefs were fabulous, and they were fabulous, and I'm bringing back a fabulous chef in July that's going to do a special dinner in the Crow's Nest, from the restaurant called Fresh. So if you look it up, it's in L.A., and it's spelled F-R-A-I-C-H-E, and so you need to look at it like that. And he is wonderful. But I had a blast. I was there during all the mudslides, the storms. That didn't stop us from eating and drinking. The other part that I wanted to talk about is, of course, we do have Super Bowl Sunday coming up, and you'll notice the sign-up sheets on your tables. And Mary has done a fabulous job of getting this all set up. You'll read it. It's $10 a person. You know we're going to have a chili cook-off, and the winning chili does go into the restaurants at the Hotel Captain Cook. So I know I can probably fined by that. It's worth it to get fined to talk about the fabulous restaurants at the hotel and your fabulous chili restaurant going there as well. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is at one of our board meetings we came up with an idea to do a social event that's a little different from all of the performing arts center events that we do and of course the eating that we do at all of our restaurants here. So one of the things I'm letting you know is I have 50 tickets. They're $10 a piece to go to the UAA game. With the ladies, UAA, and Rick, I forgot who we're playing.
We're playing Western Washington, and it's UAA women will play at 5 o'clock on the 11th, and they are the number 7 ranked team in the nation or something like that. The only league team they've lost to is Western Washington, so it's so much fun to watch these UAA women play there. It's just wonderful.
And what I wanted to let you know is I was informed by Dr. Cobb that this game will sell out because it is the only team that they've lost to. So if you'd like to go, I'll have sign-up sheets next week, but they're only $10, which allows you to also get into the men's game, which is right after that because it is a doubleheader. But what Rick and I were thinking, too, is for those of you that don't want to spend the entire evening watching basketball after we all cheer on the women to win, we'll go someplace and eat and drink. So just see me for all of that, and we'll have a blast. Also, the East Anchorage Rotarians are going to have a special roped-off section, so it'll be a really fun event.
Thanks very much, Rochelle.
I want to be like Rochelle.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Ann Marie Moylan, and I just have a happy dollar to thank Bobby and Jim Olson for their tremendous hospitality. It was wonderful to be at dinner and have Rodrigo and Susanna cook for us, and I want to thank Bobby especially because it looked like she was under the weather. Thanks.
That was a lot of fun.
Jim, thanks very much. Let's give a round of applause to Jim and Bobby in absentia. Dave, we've got so much going on. It's taking so long. We need to see if we can keep on moving here.
I'm going to work it real quick.
But it's great. And then we have the no fine button, I think.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Susanna. I just wanted to give five happy dollars because today is my son Reese's first birthday.
Oh, hey,
now that's cool.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, President Rick, fellow Rotarians and guests. I'm Rich Dyson, and I have a guest today. Please stand. In addition to being the disaster response and training coordinator for the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, he's also going to be the chair of the Great Alaska Shootout come November. Please help me welcome Rick Calco.
Oh. Great.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I'm Bill Faulkner. I have a happy $10. In NASA terms, I'm about T-minus 1 month before I get to be a grandpa for the first time.
Oh.
And the sonograms these days are pretty amazing, and I don't want to put the pressure on the little guy. It's a little boy. But I think he'll be a Major League Baseball player. But the sonograms, you can't tell if he bats right-handed or left-handed yet. We got to figure that out later, I guess. So.
Okay. For all of you young Rotarians who don't know, Bill was probably one of our top softball players, one of our top basketball players back in the days when we used to beat downtown Rotary and everything we competed against. So, but we've all gotten older, and I guess I don't know how. I guess they have too. But, so, okay, Bob.
And I hear he's going to name the child Dave. Is that right? Is that
Dave?
Is that what his name's going to be, Dave? President Rick, Sergeant of Arms, Dave. I'm Bob Hume. You might remember a couple weeks ago, Holly Brooks from the APU Nordic Ski Center was here and told us about the APU program and her efforts to get to the Olympics. And I'm really happy yesterday it was announced that she is going to Vancouver. She's in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. She did a lot of work. She earned it. That's wonderful. I'm so excited. I got so excited when I saw the paper this morning. I said, yes.
President Rick, Dave, I just wanted to introduce our visiting Rotarians guest today. Our visiting Rotarian who got introduced earlier, Brian Lawrence from downtown Seattle Rotary. His guest today is Nicole Sheldon. They are both from Make-A-Wish Foundation. Please help me welcome them.
Thank you. Welcome to our Anchorage Rotary.
By the way, the downtown Seattle Club, I think, is one of the largest in the country, isn't it, Brian?
It is. I'm with a slightly smaller club called the Seattle Skyline Rotary.
Oh, Skyline Rotary, okay.
We meet at the 76th floor of the Columbia Tower Club, the best view in Seattle.
Oh, what days of the week do you meet?
We meet at Tuesdays at noon.
Tuesdays at noon, okay, terrific. Welcome, guys. Glad to have you guys both here.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, Woody Angst asked me to make an announcement, but instead, I will text you.
That's wonderful. I'll look forward. That's great. He's just right on. Vintas is right on top of things, you know.
Okay. Well, Rick, we're going to do the no fine button. So, Steve,
Diane, did you have something you wanted to say or no?
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. President Rick, a fellow Rotarian, Sergeant-at-Arms Dave. Last week to do this, so today we would just like to talk a little bit about Montessori schools. What a surprise. We're pretty well known in Anchorage for our preschool program, but we do have an excellent elementary program. When Dr. Montessori developed her philosophy, it had multiple age groupings, very similar to the one-room schoolhouse, which we know is an iconic vision of the past. Today, I'd like to introduce our guest, one of our two elementary school teachers, Ms. Courtney Bartlett. Even though she has a very Alaskan name, she just came to us from the Boston, Massachusetts area. Courtney is going to share a little bit about Montessori Elementary.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I teach upper elementary school, but Montessori has in the elementary flow of things has a lower elementary classroom and an upper elementary classroom where there's multi-age classrooms. So lower elementary would be comprised of first through third grade. Upper elementary would be comprised of fourth through sixth grade. And what makes it unique and very different from traditional education is the wide variety of materials that Maria Montessori developed to teach all of the different areas across the curriculum. So you have students working in a multi-age classroom with a variety of materials. And her whole thought process behind that was that the hand teaches the mind, and that for every lesson there is a material and a visual representation so children can really manipulate things and really internalize concepts, as opposed to traditional education where they are really working from rote memorization patterns and things like that. The whole Montessori method really works to educate the whole child and gives them a lot of opportunities for cooperative learning, leadership, independent study, and it allows for students not to get so in traditional education, you have first grade and you finish the first grade, and if you're ready to move on to the second grade and it's February, if you're ready to go on to second grade math, you're just sort of in a holding pattern, whereas in Montessori it works in a continuum so that if you have mastered a concept, you can go all the way up through the curriculum, and so it allows for education to be much more tailored to the needs of the child, and children can move through the curriculum much quicker and really internalize the concepts. And so the reason I'm here is because we're focusing on really building up our elementary programs, and so I wanted to invite anyone interested in learning more about the school to come by, take a tour and learn and see the wonderful things that go on in our classrooms. And on February 20th, there is an independent school fair where we'll be represented, and we would be happy to answer any questions you have. We have some great literature. Also, at most of your tables, there's a What is Montessori Elementary brochure for you to get a snapshot into it. But that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Steve, thank you for sharing all that information about Montessori School this month. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Courtney.
Thank you, Steve.
All yours, President Rick.
Thank you very much, Dave. I am going to bring forward a wonderful Anchorage East Rotarian who was very, very active as an active Rotarian, took part in a lot of things and provided a lot of leadership to our club, and now she is an honorary Rotarian. So please welcome Sharon Anderson, who's going to introduce our speaker. Sharon?
President Rick, Master Sergeant Dave, and fellow East Rotarians, it is, my gosh, got to say a little stare pale. My gosh, it is so nice to see you all. I'm really excited to be here. I have to say that today, saying the Pledge of Allegiance is even more special when you have a Marine in the audience. And that's why I'm introducing today. It's Major William B. Ellen, not Anderson, although I do like that name, Major Ellen IV. And right now, his current serving as the commanding officer and inspector instructor of the U.S. Marine Corps Delta Office, Delta Company Anti-Terrorism Battalion here at Elmdorf Air Force Base. And besides doing what Marines usually do, Major Allen and his company do a whole lot more for the state of Alaska. Major Allen began his distinguished career in 1993, which isn't that long ago, when he graduated from Parris Island. He graduated from Scout and Sniper and Airborne School and a whole lot of others. He's just zoomed up in rank from Second Lieutenant, First Lieutenant, Captain, Major, and I just found out my sad disappointment that he is leaving, but going on to above and better. He's been chosen to attend Staff and Command College, which means a whole lot more promotions very soon. Congratulations on that, Major Ellen. Wonderful. He's done a whole lot in his short career. He's been a platoon commander, executive officer, logistics officer, communications officer, supply officer. He's also served in combat in, I can't believe all these places in such a short time, in Haiti, in Bosnia, in Kosovo, and also in Iraq for Iraqi freedom. When he's not on deployment or out in TDY, temporary duty around the world, he's with his lovely wife, Michelle. She should be a model. And their two twin daughters, who are 9 years old, Ashley and Lindsay. In fact, the girls say that Dad is a lot of fun on his mean snow machine, and he makes a really good strawberry Slurpee, except he forgets to put the lid on the machine, and he makes one big mess. Quote Ashley and Lindsay. I have to say that he's soon to be deployed also to Juneau, and he has the honor of being the first Marine to actually brief the governor of the state of Alaska and the legislator. He's been awarded a Purple Heart, the Navy and the Marine Corps Commendation Medal with a Gold Star for Combat, and many other numerous medals and honors. And I have to agree with President Reagan's comment about some people spend a lifetime wondering if they do something good for the world, if they make a difference. Obviously, the Marines don't have that problem, and obviously, Major Allen doesn't either. Thank you. Let's give a warm welcome for Major Allen.
Yes, I am a little bit technology challenged, as my daughters shared. I'll have to talk to Michelle when I get home about that tonight. So,
but this can help you out.
Hopefully the computer will come up for us, and I'll have this brief ready for you all. President, Sharon, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much for offering me the opportunity to come and speak with you today and share what your Marines do here in Alaska. It's quite an honor to get out and speak with the community in ways that raise awareness. When I got here about a little over 18 months ago, I kept running into a common phrase, and that was, I didn't know we had Marines here. That's been a goal of mine to kind of nip that in the bud, if you will, in my short time here. And as Sharon alluded, unfortunately, our time's going to be a little bit shorter with us leaving this summer, my family and I. It's an honor to be selected, but I consider it much more of an honor to spend time here in Alaska and getting to wake up in the morning and look at the Chugach and complain when the lights don't change really fast. I can only imagine what it's going to be like driving on Interstate 95. Those of you who are familiar with that near the Beltway. So very much appreciate the way that we can get around town here locally. Wanted to kind of talk to you briefly, starting with the Marine Corps and what's going on, and then kind of narrow it down to your Alaskan Marines that are here. I start off with today's Marine. A lot of us are very familiar with the Greatest Generation and what they accomplished and what our Marine history has accomplished, particularly in World War II with the raising of the flag on Iwo Jima. And there's been some doubt in some of our senior leadership whether or not today's service members, this Generation X, Y, whatever you want to call this generation, whether or not they can answer our nation's call. It's been my honor, as Sharon alluded, to lead these young men and women in combat, and I can tell you without a doubt, they are equal, if not above, the Greatest Generation that we have in our memories. They've accomplished a lot and beyond our expectations. So they're a little bit more than the joystick generation that sometimes we look at with the Xbox and Wii and everything else that my daughters are educating me with. The photograph down on the bottom right, you can see the recruiter. We do have recruiters here in Alaska. We have about six of them, and they are doing a lot of the lion's share of what the Commandant has challenged our recruiters with. Recently, Congress authorized our in-strength within the Marine Corps to go above 200,000. And there was a business plan, which I'm sure many of you are associated with, that set that goal to be established within 3 years. The recruiters were able to do it in a year, which is pretty amazing. And the Marine Corps doesn't do it by offering you $40,000 for education or $30,000 for a small business loan. We offer you a set of dress blues and a title, Marine. And that's what these young men and women are doing today and what they're signing up for. And They know what's around the corner. And around the corner has been our deployments to Iraq and to Afghanistan. And I wanted to share some of these photos with you, just kind of sear some images that I'm sure many of you have seen. Again, the bravery of this generation in the top left. That Marine, if you haven't noticed or know of that story, he's a first sergeant. He was nominated for the Medal of Honor, received a Bronze Star instead. I kind of say that because what he did is some of the things that you read about great warriors in our past who have been Medal of Honor recipients. But those Marines that are carrying him out are the ones that he protected from insurgents in the Battle of Fallujah. And his body kind of shows the wear and tear. He's now a sergeant major leading some of those very recruiters that I just mentioned. And what's neat, those of you, many Alaskans, know about weapon safety. Wounded, still in combat, coming out with his pistol in hand, and he's got that trigger finger off of the trigger, ready to engage that weapon. The one on the right is another famous photo from the Battle of Fallujah, right here. Kind of called the Marlboro Man, or Marlboro Marine, is what we kind of termed it. A very famous photo about the stress of combat. And the reason why I put this one out is our Marines, about 50 of them, who make up the reserve company, just recently returned from a deployment in Iraq this past summer. And if you look at that face in that image is PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's something to kind of take a look at. As I've had the opportunity to speak to various groups, I've always put this photo up there. Yes, it's famous in the sense of the Battle of Fallujah, but sadly, this Marine took his life, and it was because of PTSD. And so that's the kind of look that I, when I speak to schools and other groups here in the greater Anchorage area, we had a very successful transition for our 50 Reserve Marines who came back. And I credit it a lot to the city and our community and the fact that we did it in a three-pronged attack where we were able to make sure that the employers out in town knew some of the signs to look for as these Marines came back and integrated. And if they were having events in their lives at work that were causing stress, they could contact us, which was the second critical part of that two-pronged attack, as well as the family members and keeping them informed and signs to look for. So fortunately, we've been very blessed in that those Marines have integrated back with their employers, back to school, and happy to say without incident, without any major issues. And if there has been, the communication has been there and it hasn't had that negative stigma that I think we've also associated with our Vietnam veterans. So kudos to you all for the hard work that you've done in taking care of your Marines and your fellow citizens. The last one, very significant, you can see on the bottom left, of course this is another combat shot, but these two individuals right here are Iraqi soldiers. And this past weekend, we had an incredibly historic event that kind of made it into the news. But the last major Marine higher headquarters left Iraq. We went from a height of 25,000 Marines near the Battle of Fallujah, 2006, and it slowly started to peel back. After this past weekend's event, you'll probably have about 20 to 30 Marines left in Afghanistan as advisors. And I can think of better places to go, but ultimately, they're headed to this place now, from one part of a troubled part of the world to the next. And we now currently have about 11,000 Marines in Afghanistan, down in the Helmand province. Very significant, which is why I have this particular photo here. I don't know if anybody knows what that is in the near ground. Poppy seeds. Don't like to talk about nation building because what Marines do is win our nation's battles, and that's what we've been doing for over 230 years. But that's just a reality of this world that we're in, particularly this neck of the woods, is if we don't establish that security and that level footing for the locals to take control their own governance and to start moving in a different direction, which we saw in Iraq, they're not going to have the opportunity to turn away from a $400 million
cash crop annually. It's kind of hard to entice someone to grow corn when they can put some cash in their pocket very quickly. Not to mention, without that security day and night, they have people visit their house on why they're not growing this cash cow to put money in someone else's pocket and to fund their portion of the war. And we do that by winning over, in this particular photo, as you can see, a young Marine being a young Marine and getting out there and engaging the community. Those of you that kind of know a little bit of your history back to Vietnam, it was the platoon action teams that were out there that lived and integrated with the Vietnamese that helped kind of start turn the tide and help them to see that we were there actually to help them and move them in the right direction. That's what our Marines are out doing in the Helmand province. They're getting out there, getting involved with the community. They're not staying inside this fortress of solitude, but they're out there every day, letting the people know that we're there to help them, not to take over for them. I wanted to just give you a little bit of snapshot of something that's in the news that's popped up. We do have about 2,200 Marines currently down in Haiti. Tough deployment for these Marines because they just came back. This is an example of basically this is a small aircraft carrier that we use for our helicopters. If you've got the good eyesight on the tail end here, these are Harrier jump jets that can actually do the vertical and landing and takeoff. But this is kind of the main headquarters ship for what we call our Marine Expeditionary Units. They go out to sea. I've had the privilege of going twice out with a Marine Expeditionary Unit. This was pre-9/11 when that was the cutting edge to go to the Mediterranean and go over there and train and get a chance to go out in the community. And sounds like going to L.A. and tasting some good food and wine, she would definitely be a liberty risk in Italy with the Marines out there with leading them down the road of some good food and wine as well. But we would call them Liberty Cruises, but we would have the opportunity to do some phenomenal training. Well, these Marines had just returned from 7 months sea period, had started out on their leave period, going back to their families, and that phone call came because they were the most ready. As you've always heard, it is a bumper sticker. We are America's 911 force, and the call came that we needed to go down there. And what's critical is the three main ships that make up MU carry the capacity for those helicopters that you see here to do the airlift into the small landing zones to get the aid out there into the Marines' hand that can provide that security and start passing out food, water, and other supplies to the Haitians that need it. And a much better visit than the visit that I had in the mid-90s when there was a lot of turmoil in that area. Now, shifting to our unit, like I said, we have about 50 reserve Marines. We have an active duty staff, which I'm the senior member of a total of about 8 Marines and then 1 corpsman. And we're responsible for taking care of the state and whatever needs that the state asks us to do for the Marine Corps. I left a job where I worked on the general staff where I was a pencil throw away from being told what to do to my boss there, the Lieutenant Colonel, Anti-Terrorism Battalion, is all the way down in Birmingham, Alabama. So from being just a stone's throw away from a boss, I'm now almost 4,000 miles away. Our higher headquarters is down in New Orleans with a 2-star general. He is a reserve Marine, and he works out of New Orleans. And then the 3-star general, we just had a new one, Lieutenant General Kelly, who's got a ton of experience over in the Middle East, has just taken over our Marine Reserve Forces, and he is an active duty Marine. And the Reserve Forces are a little bit different than what you see with our active duty component, and the fact that Marines typically out of the East Coast deploy over towards the Mediterranean, and the Marines out of the West Coast typically deploy over into the Middle East. Well, our reserve components, they support both of those deployment cycles. So it'd be an argument that our reserves deploy almost as much, if not more, than our active component. There's our mission statement of what our Marines are tasked with doing. Essentially, what is an anti-terrorism battalion? It's an infantry unit, and that's what we're able to do. Command and control. Could you imagine this from a business aspect of having your sub-units spread across every single coast? And I know many of the larger businesses do that, but for the Lieutenant Colonel and his battalion staff there outside of Birmingham and Bessemer, he certainly has some command and control logistical communication challenges in the fact that we are from Hawaii all the way over to Chicopee, Mass., down to Tallahassee, and then, of course, all the way up here into the last frontier. Here's where we're located. Our unit over on Elmendorf, soon to be J-Bear. I always make the joke that before we kind of went to this J-Bear piece, it was like the Marines being in Beirut. We had a small group. We patrolled the border and made sure we maintained peace between the Air Force and the Army. So now that, and it only takes 8 Marines, come on. We're talking about the Air Force and the Army here. No, if it wasn't for the Air Force and the Army here in Alaska, we wouldn't be able to do the mission that we do. So we already have a term in the joint world we call purple. The Marine Corps has already been purple because we very much rely not only on the active components in the Air Force and the Army, but also our great guardsmen that we have here in Alaska, as well as the reserve components from each of the branches. A little bit of our history. The unit was initially established here in 1985. We were redesignated from a reconnaissance unit, which is what you see there in the background. Basically, we were able to do the fun things that a lot of young Marines love to do, jumping out of airplanes, getting out of submarines. We kind of lost that capability, went to a different unit, but we essentially were able to accomplish a lot of the same small unit missions. Our company has deployed in total to Iraq twice, but we've had smaller deployments where we've sent, instead of all 150 of the entire company, which I should have showed you on the other map, the other half of our company is down in Billings, Montana, so we really kind of focus on the cold weather, mountain environments within Delta Company. But we've had smaller platoon rotations where they've gone over into Iraq. And sadly, we've lost 3 of our Marines that are assigned to Delta Company within those deployments. Those 8 Marines and one corpsman that I have the honor of serving with, these are what I like to call our enduring tasks, the things that we have to do every single day. Our first and foremost responsibility is to make sure that our reserve Marines are trained and equipped and ready to deploy at a moment's notice. And we do that by seeing those reserve Marines once a month, usually for about 48 hours, every month out of the year. I'm sorry, 12 times out of the year. And then we get them for about 2 weeks in the summertime. So for those employers that are out there that do have reservists, whether they're in the Marine Corps or in the other services, they have a challenging weekend. They come in, they train for the entire weekend, and then they come right back to you Monday morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to get back to work on what they do on their normal day jobs. But when you lose them from those 2 weeks in the summertime, they're also very much challenged, everything from leadership to their primary occupational specialty. So what I like to say is hopefully not only are you giving up to your country, but you're getting back that employee with some more assets and some more leadership capabilities each and every weekend and annually when they have the opportunity to come train with us. Something I've been trying to, again, raise awareness is any former Marine that's out there when they pass away, we're responsible and welcome the opportunity to pay final tribute to that Marine. And we do that across the state. It's not just here in Anchorage. It doesn't have to be at the National Cemetery. We've flown from here to Fairbanks, chartered a small aircraft, and flown out to some of those smaller villages because it is a solemn honor to bid farewell. And we like to do it in Marine fashion. One of the most challenging solemn honors that I have, and I say that it's an honor, but I have that every parent's nightmare, every spouse's nightmare. I get to be that Marine who's in his service office who comes and knocks on the door. and has to deliver that faithful message that your loved one has passed away. The reason why I call it a solemn honor is once you join the Marine Corps, we gain a Marine, but we also gain a family. And we take that to heart, and we take care of that family throughout their service and when they leave the service. But there's a special connection that's born if you have to go deliver that faithful message. And then shepherd them and that family through that period of transition. So that's a bond that sadly I've had to do 4 times since I've been up here, but that's a bond that I will carry with me, and the rest of the Marines will carry with them, and that connection with that family for a lifetime. On a better note, our Toys for Tots program, it's a wonderful opportunity to partner with businesses and corporations out in town. We are very successful in our program here in Alaska. It's extremely unique. It's very different from what you see in the Lord of 48, because the toys and the money that are generously donated by yourselves stays here in Alaska. It doesn't go anywhere else. We're in the Lord of 48. It may go to an adjacent state or somewhere else to help their program, which is wonderful, but I like to brag that Alaskans take care of Alaskans, and we just become a mechanism for that. This past Christmas, we were able to give toys to about 17,000 children, and of those, 5,000 children were out in the bush. We went to different places that we have a hub, McGrath, Galena, Kotzebue, and up in Barrow. And from there, we get on snow machines with trailers full of toys and a Santa suit, and we go out to the smaller villages, and we incorporate into their Christmas pageant or program, and Santa Claus gets to call a child by name and come up and receive a toy. And many times, it's the only toy or it's the nicest toy that that child received. And our program would not be successful if it wasn't for great citizens like yourselves who help contribute to that. As was kind of mentioned, future events that are going on, but I get to fly down to Juneau. I haven't figured out if that's a good thing or a bad thing yet. I guess I'll figure it out after I get down there, but what a great honor to go down there and kind of help spread this message. A very similar brief was what I'll get to give to our leadership down there, and to bring some more awareness on what we do up here and ways to provide some better support to our community. Community relations, you saw on that last slide, one of the things that we are doing as a Marine Corps, we have a program that's called Innovative Readiness Training. And what this does is allows other reserve units that have certain specialties to come up to Alaska and do some great things like surveying roads and helping putting those roads in out on the Aleutians. This coming summer, a group of Marines are going to go up to Kotzebue, and they're going to do a reconnaissance for a road that's very much needed up there and help lay the groundwork for that. The biggest one that we have is up in Batarvik, where we're helping relocate that village as the shores continue to erode. We have Marines that are helping build another village across the river further in so that their city and their town and their way of life won't erode. So that's some unique programs that we have that are going on that the Marine Corps is helping sponsor to help make things better for our state. We're also proud that this summer we're going to bring about another 400, 500 Marines to come up here and use some of the great training ranges that we have, not only on Fort Richardson, but up in Fort Wainwright and other places across the state, and getting out into the community and just kind of showing in some of these remote areas that your military service is more than just about deploying overseas. It's actually having an opportunity to engage and give back to the community, and we see that in Alaska. Every year, I can't say it enough, I think we throw one of the best parties around. We've been doing it for 234 years, and hopefully you can come and celebrate with us for our 235th celebration this coming November. Last year, we were able to have it here at the Hilton and enjoy some fine food. We're waiting to see what our menu is going to be this year, so I don't know. Maybe somebody could help us out in the audience. Do I have to pay a fine for that? Is that advertising?
Oh.
And
And then lastly, yes, we were able to do a lot of outreach this year. We actually re-termed a portion of our Toys for Tots program, Semper Fidelis Outreach, always faithful, if you didn't know that's what our motto is. But going out into these smaller villages, we can do more. We want to do more, but we can't do it without your all's help. And that's the appeal and the challenge that I try to throw out when I have an opportunity. If there's a way to kind of help take care of our own, just something that I ask that you kind of do some soul searching. And I'm always available to kind of listen to some ideas of way that we can bring better awareness, bring more financial support to give back to our fellow Alaskans. And that's all that I have, unless there are any questions or suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Major William Allen. Major, what I've learned in politics is if you're getting the standing ovation, you don't even answer any questions after that. You just stay seated and enjoy it. So thank you very much for a great presentation, Major William Allen. Okay, I'm going to ask Paul McGuire quickly to auction off the no-find button. I forgot to do that.
Month of February, $50 bid. Who's going to be? $50 right now for the month right there is $50. Now I need $100. Now I need $100. Now I need $100. Who's going to be? $50 is a bid right there. $100, thank you, bid. $125. You go $125. One and a half, one time. What do you think? One and a half. 175, 175, 175. Two. And a quarter. A half. 300. 200 is my bid right here. 225. Thank you, Barbara. 250. He's out. You're in. 225 once. Twice.
You want in?
Sold it right there. Barbara Swenson.
Okay. Barbara Swenson. Okay, as we're getting ready for our raffle, don't forget, since Barbara Swenson just bought No Find Button, I'll give her an early pitch, and that is tomorrow night, 5:30, Hawthorne Suites.
Clarion Suites.
Which one is that? Is that on?
Used to be the Hawthorne, behind Benihana.
Behind Benihana, okay. Clarion Suites now. 5:30, and then after that, you can talk to Rick Goodfellow and go to the Business Hall of Fame induction of Matthew Nicolai right after that, and then next Tuesday is Pillars of America. Next Tuesday at noon, Pillars of America. And then the following Wednesday, in place of our meeting, it will be Pillars of America also. And then the following day, which is Thursday, February 11th, UAA Women's Basketball. And we'll go and watch a great basketball game and go out and eat and drink. That's it. Okay, Dave.
Wow.
A lot of things going on here. Wow.
Major, I want to tell you what a pleasure and honor and a privilege it is for us to be here with you. It's fantastic what you guys do. If you would please draw a winning ticket. It's an 8-foot putt for $44.
Again, thanks to Jerry Winchester.
Yeah. Thank you to Jerry Winchester. The winning number is 455.
Oh, and it's not Manchester. Oh, Steve O'Brien. Here we go. Okay, Steve.
All right, Steve. We've got an 8-foot putt. We got a putter that is right and left-handed. Do you want to go for the whole pot or half the pot?
The whole pot.
Okay. Steve, don't be nervous, but Tiger Woods would have made that putt before he got distracted. Now, I'm not so sure if Tiger would make that putt.
I don't think Tiger and I have much in common.
Okay.
Okay, he is getting up for the putt. It's a Titleist 4, I believe, is the ball.
Oh, baby. We don't do this much in Montessori schools.
If you were putting on the green, that would have gone way past. And you won, so
there
you
go, Steve.
So he really thinks that would have went in.
He did it.
Okay, go out, do good, have fun, make friends. This meeting is adjourned.